Chapter 6.
Are you sure?
Temur asked Kusala over the vox.
I am. The Zadian Arga will destroy the teleporter. We have the rest of the orc heavy armor before us. We don't have long. Several vehicles look battle-ready. Even if the teleporter is destroyed, they can still travel here,
Temur finished. A cannon shell landed a few meters in front of him. He swerved around it, then turned for another run at the newest tank. The two recent arrivals were sticking close to each other, less for mutual protection, more to use each other as bait for the foe. The main cannons were blasting apart the Mordians from a distance. The side guns were punching into the white scars as they tried to cripple the vehicles. The white scars and the Iron Guard were fighting five tanks again. The main body of the orc infantry would not be long in arriving. And now Kusala was telling him that the number of battle wagons could easily double, perhaps in a few minutes, at best in a few hours. His bike raced towards the tank. His bolters fired at the side gunners. In the space between seconds, Temur weighed his decision. If he took the Brotherhood at desperate speed to the Manufactorum, they would be leaving the Iron Guard to a fate that was anything but uncertain. The mortals had courage, tenacity, and skill. None of that mattered in the long run against the orc machines. By the time the White Scars returned, the Bastion could well be a smoking ruin. And if he stayed? By Kusala's own estimation, the scouts were not strong enough to cripple the orc facility. There would be delay, and there would be losses, but more orc tanks would arrive, and the end would be even more certain. Closer to the tanks now. He made rapid corrections left and right. Orc bullets screamed overhead. A few struck the front armor of his bike. He kept to the course. There was no real choice. To stay would result in the further consolidation of orc strength. The White Scars had come to find the Manufactorum, destroy it, and from that blow, destroy the orcs on this moon. The Bastion was here for that purpose, too. So it would have to play its role. He wondered what the difference was between his forced hand and Ghazan's sense of fate. Temur and his brothers shot past the left flank of the battle wagon, strafing it with shells. They killed the side gunners and a handful of orcs clinging to the roof of the tank. But the vehicles had arrived with the green skins covering them like ticks, and the gunners were replaced in an instant. Temur contacted Meixner.
Colonel, he said, the successful prosecution of this war will require sacrifice.
Ours?
Yes. The heart of the Greenskins' operation here is about to be exposed to us. The Karjog stand and the assault squad will remain to assist.
You did warn me of this eventuality. There was no bitterness. No irony in Meixner's voice. He understood.
We will hold the orcs here, he said. We will keep their forces divided for as long as we can. That will be sufficient. You have my word.
Thank you. Then the disciplined formality of Meixner's tone slipped for a moment.
If I might request a favor.
Of course.
Hurry back.
The irony came through now. It was as clear as the exhaustion. When the demolition charges went off and the power plant collapsed on itself, the energy levels fluctuated wildly around the cages on the grid. One of the machines burst into flame, but the grid did not shut down. A minute part of Ghazan's consciousness wondered about this. Perhaps the hellish construction stored reserve power in batteries. Perhaps it was the imprisoned Eldar witches themselves who were the source of the power, and the cables were bringing their energies to the plant in the next cavern rather than the other way around. It didn't matter. The only thing that did was to tackle his future head on, and the future was standing there, a thing of inhuman worship and feral magic. Ghazan ran forwards. He sent another electrical blast ahead of him. It caught the oncoming orcs, and the flash turned three of them to ash. Two others were rooted to the floor as the lightning devastated their nervous systems. But one of them, with smoke rising from his eyes, managed to keep running towards Ghazan, taking half a dozen more steps before it died.
"So strong," he thought. "Why are they so strong?"
The witch was back on its feet. It opened its maw so wide that its head rocked back. It roared with an ecstasy of rage. The other orcs were frenzied by the shout and fed their heightened fury back to the witch. The orc madness was an almost physical wave. It knocked Ghazan back a step. He fired his bolt pistol as he steadied himself. The orcs seemed stronger yet, but their skulls still flew apart when struck by mass reactive shells. A howling monster hurtled into him. He blocked the swing of the orc's chain axe with his staff and shot the greenskin through the throat. His outrage had its own power, and he moved forwards again. Staff upheld, he roared back at the orcs, hurling the shout of ancestral cavalry charges. The shout became wind, and it flattened the greenskins, clearing his path to the witch. Four of the Eldar were climbing the grid, firing down from the cages at the orcs. The others were engaging in melee combat with the greenskins, slicing at them with twin blades, forcing them back from the machines. Telathia moved through the battle with a mix of stillness and uncanny speed. She carried no weapon except her staff. Her right hand moved as if she were conjuring music only she could hear. Wherever she pointed, there went shuriken fire or sword blow. Orcs tried to kill her, but the attacks of her squad always hit the greenskins just as they were getting her in their sights or closing within striking distance. She kept the Eldar ahead of the orcs. Whatever attack the greenskins tried, the Eldar countered even as it began. She seemed to know what the orcs were going to do before they did themselves. A few times, when her brethren were pressed hard, an orc slipped through the cordon of preemptive kills that surrounded her. The opportunity did the beast no good. Telathia snapped into motion, rounding on her foe with serpent speed. Energy coursing the length of her staff, she pointed. She didn't touch the orc, but it collapsed, screaming, clutching its head. It stayed down, gibbering, and was trampled to death by others of its kind as they tried to grapple with this being who seemed to exist a few seconds ahead of everything else in the cavern. The orc engineer was in between Ghazan and the witch. It regarded him with malevolent curiosity. Ghazan's bolter shells exploded against the force field. Ghazan refused to believe that the tech was intentionally providing cover for the witch, but it had done so, buying seconds during which the wind-stunned greenskins made it to their feet again. The orc witch spread its arms wide. Coruscating energy flowed from its claws. The streams split into dozens of arcs that landed on the greenskins on both sides of Ghazan. The brute seemed to grow before his eyes. He dismissed the sight as an illusion, but the orcs were bursting with renewed power. They came at him as an explosion of violence. He saw residual energy crackle on the ends of their tusks. They were maddened with rage, ecstatic with it. He was surrounded by a wall of green muscle. It closed in. A few orcs, in the lunacy of their rage, fired their guns, shooting through their own ranks. Shotguns blew open chests and severed arms. The wounded kept fighting. A brute that should have been dead paid no attention to the hole in its torso and swung a huge cleaver at Ghazan. The blow was strong enough to shatter the blade as it bit into the ceramite of his power armor. There was a sound like stuttering thunder. It came from a portable stubber. Sparks and smoke billowed from the barrel as it spat a stream of bullets. The weapon was a monster of noise and recoil. It had no accuracy. It didn't need any. The volley cut through orc flesh and pounded Ghazan. His armor protected him, but he sensed damage occurring. His movements became heavier as servo motors lost power. Something huge hit him from behind. He stumbled forwards a step, turned his momentum into a pivot, and faced his attacker. The orc was a head taller than the others. It wielded a grotesque double-bladed chain cleaver. The weapon was ridiculous in its overwrought expression of bloodthirst, but it was wielded by a being that was equal to its violence. More blows rained on Ghazan from all sides as the big orc swung the roaring blades at his face. If the strike went true, it would cut his head in half. He had all the time he needed to see the danger, to understand it, and to parse his reaction. As he had entered the pivot, he had reacted on instinct. He tapped into a power as elemental to the collective psyche of the White Scars as lightning and wind were to the identity of Chogoris. He summoned speed. It had been the defining feature of the White Scars' way of war for all the millennia of the chapter's existence. It had been the way of the steppes long before the arrival of Jagatai Khan. War was speed, and he became its incarnation. The orc's swing appeared to slow as if it were happening in deep water. The fists and blades around Ghazan became lethargic. He ducked beneath the chain blades and moved to the side of the orc. Beneath the green skin's heavy brow, its stupid eyes began to widen in surprise. Ghazan brought his bolter up to the brute's temple. He pulled the trigger. The normal pace of time resumed as the orc's head exploded. No more orcs came from the entrance behind Ghazan. Arik's sabotage had been effective. The great flood of the green horde had been slowed, but it had not been stopped. The enemy continued to arrive from smaller passages, mostly on the north side of the cave. More and more orcs directed their fire at the Eldar in the elevated positions. The greenskins showing no concern about preserving the lives of their prisoners. The four warriors were forced to send their shuriken into the flesh of more and more targets. Even with Telathia's direction, they could not hold them all at bay. The orcs shut down the options of destiny through sheer numbers. There was no future where tragedy did not occur. First one, then a second of the warriors fell, sublime armor shattered by simple but overwhelming brutality. There was an art in war. To be Adeptus Astartes was to know this and to practice it. Ghazan recognized the alien brilliance in the Eldar art. The orcs had no art as he understood it. They were nothing but raw war. Their undisciplined, exuberant force smashed the art and trampled its remains. The Eldar on the ground tried to counter the new force. They unleashed their pulverizing screams. The orcs staggered, giving the last two Eldar on the grid the chance to kill a few more. It wasn't enough. Telathia's gestures grew more urgent. The Eldar took down the orcs faster, despite their own losses. But the tide was turning, And it was rising.
Wind, Ghazan thought. Wind his spirit became. He reached deep into his soul, into the heart of Chogoris, and into the warp. He risked much as the eternal claws of the immaterium reached into his self. He gained much as the winds came, greater than before. They surrounded him, a cyclone spiraling out from his center. The rage took the cavern. The orcs lost their aim. The smaller ones fell. The Eldar, warned by Telathia of the coming of the gale, rode it out and slaughtered the enemy. He'd won them all breathing space. Not much, a few seconds perhaps. Freed for the moment of the mob, Ghazan moved forwards again. Unmoved by the gale, as firmly grounded as a pillar, the orc tech hadn't moved. It was still blocking his path to the witch. It was still grinning. It was not attacking, but it had the look of feral joy of a greenskin in full combat. Behind it, the witch was bent over. It clutched its staff with both hands, trembling with the tension of effort. It was surrounded by a narrow, intense aurora. Power was barely contained by the orc's body and was still building. Ghazan realized that he'd been half right. The tech was not protecting the witch, but it was cooperating. The look on its face spoke the truth. It was attacking. The two were launching a coordinated strike, with the engineer giving the Psyker the opportunity to prepare its great blow. Ghazan charged, still firing his bolter in the faint hope that he might overwhelm the tech's force field in time. He was drained from calling the great winds, but he began to open his mind to the warp yet again. Stop, he thought. Stop, stop, stop. He'd been too slow. The orcs had bought their own breathing space. They had delayed Ghazan just long enough. Just a few meters away now. The tech's force field wouldn't matter. He wouldn't let it. He would smash the orc aside with his own momentum. Let him only have the time to take those last steps. The tech jumped out of his way. It crouched low, racing to Ghazan's left for the nearest side exit. The witch was standing straight. The blow came. There was no way into the cavern except through the main entrance. Yet there was still the chance to approach without being detected. The lumen orbs that the orcs were using were harsh, bright, and threw stark shadows across the floor. The tanks were well lit. Beyond them, the lower reaches of the cavern were a confusion of darkness and pulsing glare from giant welding torches. The noise of the construction was deafening. Kusala would have to resort to hand signals just to make himself understood. The scouts moved in, flowing from shadow to shadow, wraiths in armor. The orcs were consumed by the riot of industry. On all sides, Kusala saw the dark side of creation. The orcs built with glee and wild passion. Everything they brought into being was grotesque. They gave form to excess, and the excess was brute violence. There was nothing sensible or practical about the designs of the battle wagons. There was too much armament, too much shielding, too much metal piled on top of metal. And yet the vehicles were every bit as dangerous as the orcs believed they were. Somehow their form made them into the monsters they were meant to be. Seeing them closer, outside the frenzy of vehicular combat, Kusala was struck by their size. They were larger than the typical orc battle wagon.
Everything about these orcs was exaggerated, as if some malign spirit were inspiring them to greater heights of destruction, war, and riot. Kusala scanned for opportunities as they headed deeper into the cavern. He would have to choose the target well. There would be a single opportunity. If the damage was severe with accompanying chaos, the scouts might live long enough to do more. If it were minor, they would be useless martyrs. Arik signaled for his attention. He pointed. Two vehicles over, partially obscured by the intervening scaffolding, a completed battle wagon was being fueled. It was close to the center of the cavern. Beside it was a reservoir, twice the size of the tanks. Kusala nodded. He followed a path that took them under the scaffolding, shifting back and forth between patches of darkness, approaching the clear space. Closer up, Kusala could see the spills of the orc's promethium. There were pools of it over much of the cavern floor in this area. More were streaming down the side of the battle wagon, leaking from the hose and dripping from the bottom of the reservoir. Arik's eagerness was bordering on delight. No wonder. The orcs might as well have issued him a written invitation to do his worst. Kusala looked back the way they had come. The quickest retreat would take the scouts past two more battle wagons. As single-minded as the orcs were about their tasks, they weren't so blind that they wouldn't notice a human coming right up to the vehicles. But given a much greater distraction, Kusala began to share Arik's eagerness. It was time to unleash what he and his scouts did best. In this cavern, they would complete the mission that Temur Khan had given them. He could not deny the importance of what following the Zadyan Arga had revealed, but he could not shake the idea that if they had not encountered the Eldar, Ghazan would have insisted they continue down the path of his visions. They would likely never have found this assembly bay. Kusala had a full measure of respect for Ghazan's prowess. He did not doubt the importance of the Stormseer's visions. He did not doubt their reality. What he doubted was Ghazan's insistence that what he had seen superseded everything else about the mission. There would be a reckoning with the Khan later. Kusala had no interest in being caught in the middle of that crossfire. He was a warrior of the White Scars, and he asked no more than to do his duty to the Mingan and Chapter, Primarch and Emperor. Now, though, Ghazan had removed himself from Kusala's concern. Now there was only the purity of the mission, the purity of destroying the foe. One of the lessons that Kusala taught the scouts was the many shades of speed. On foot or on land speeder, the spirit of the White Scars' way of war was the same. Stealth was speed. The attack came without warning. The enemy did not see the blow coming. The effect was the same. Lightning from a clear sky. Kusala sent Arik to prepare the lightning over the reservoir. He led the others back so that they might turn the first thunderclap into a great storm. At the first battle wagon, he stopped. Yekejin and Bokegan continued to the last vehicle before the entrance. They moved well. Within very few paces, Kusala could barely see them, even knowing where to look. An act of great speed was closing in on the orcs. He maglocked his bolter. He took out a crack grenade for each hand. He eyed the tank's wheels and its roof, covered in laboring orcs. Two orcs began shouting at each other. They stood on top of the battle wagon, behind one of the viciously angled crenellations. Each wanted the same tool. It looked like a combination wrench and welder, as long as Kusala's arm. After a brief tug of war, one orc snatched it from the other's grasp. The second, Greenskin, grabbed its brother by the throat and smashed its head against the point of the crenellation. The iron punched through the orc's skull and launched its left eye in an impressive arc. The rest of the orcs hooted. The corpse's grip relaxed. The tool fell, clattering and bouncing through the scaffolding. It landed in front of Kusala. He was close enough to pick it up. He mentally framed a string of curses. They were his most imaginative in at least 20 years. He glanced left. Still no Arik. Looked up. The orc was clambering down the scaffolding. Left. Was that a shadow moving? It was. The orc was on the ground. It reached for the tool. Arik was seconds away. The orc grasped the tool. It saw Kusala. Its jaw hung open in stupid surprise. Still holding the grenades, Kusala slammed his gauntleted fist against the bridge of the orc's nose. He caved in the green skin's face. The brute still roared before it had the good grace to die. "Now!" Kusala shouted. He threw his grenades, one at the roof, one at the wheels. Arik triggered the charge. The speed of war struck the orcs. The first blast of Arik's explosives was dwarfed by the conflagration of the Prometheum. The fireball filled the center of the chamber. It swallowed the battle wagon. It turned the orcs and scaffolding into flying, burning debris. Then the tank exploded. Its wreckage was of larger mass. It flew lower, hit the ground rolling, smashing down more construction works. The flames were still spreading when first Kusala's grenades went off, then those hurled by Yekijin and Bokigan at the other battle wagon. The cracks melted armor, wheels, and axles. The vehicles slumped. They were far from killed, but their departure from the chamber was delayed. The orcs reacted with chaotic rage. There were explosions in 3 separate locations. Flames and secondary blasts spreading through the cavern. The greenskins didn't know where to shoot, so they shot everywhere, at everything that moved. For those first crucial seconds, as the scouts made their way back towards the cave entrance, the orcs saw only each other. The instinct to retaliate was too strong. Orc fired on orc. Frenzy and ferocity spread ahead of the flames. What order there had been before the attack collapsed. The squad was just reaching the entrance when there was a roar almost as loud as the explosions. Only it came from a living throat. Kusala turned. They had been spotted by the overseers of the construction zone. 2 large orcs in thick armor waded out of the fire. Between them, they carried what looked like a massive stubber. Kusala realized it was a gun intended to be used as a battle wagon's side turret. 1 orc carried the barrel. The other held the stock and had its finger on the trigger. "Move!" Kusala yelled. The scouts already were. The orcs opened fire. The gun's recoil was great, and its barrel ran hot within seconds. Though the lead orc held on, the spray still went wild. Bullets the length of a mortal's hand ricocheted around the cavern. The initial shots hit Bokigan full on. They stitched a trail of holes that ran the entire length of his torso and then his head. He jerked, immobilized by the severity of his wounds as the massive rounds took apart his carapace, blew out his throat, put out his eyes. The force of the blows propelled him forwards another step. Then he fell. Arik shot the lead orc in the head. It fell, dropping its end of the gun. The other orc howled as the gun kicked uncontrollably. It kept its finger on the trigger, spraying bullets across the entire breadth of the cavern until another round from Arik dropped it too. Now the other orcs were breaking from their disorder. They realized that the true enemy had been found. More died as they were caught in the flames. The fireball was dissipating, but it was still touching off spills and minor reservoirs. The orcs ignored their losses. Kusala doubted that they even understood the meaning of the word. They ran forwards, single-minded in aggression, heedless of anything beyond the need to kill the enemy. There were hundreds of the orcs. Not all of them joined in the rush. They climbed onto the completed battle wagons. Kusala's heart sank as he heard engines rumble to life, spewing clouds of blue smoke. As the scouts reached the entrance, so did a large contingent of orcs coming from the downward slope of the tunnel. Trapped, Kusala thought.
For the Emperor, he shouted. For the Khan,
the squad answered. Blades drawn, they threw themselves at impossible odds. Then the ground shook, while further back in the tunnel, the sun rose. The race was even worse this time. During the run to the base, Temur had been fighting to avert disaster. Now victory was the prize, and that hope was so slender, so delicately balanced on the horns of time, that it could vanish if the Brotherhood was as little as a few seconds late in arriving. So far, he thought. Too far. He didn't want to know how long it had been since he'd received Kusala's message, but he was aware of precisely how many seconds it had been and how many minutes it would be before they reached the site of the Manufactorum. Too long. There had been no further messages. He had tried contacting Ghazan, but to no avail there either. Once more, they had seen the orc infantry in the distance, closing in on the bastion. They would be in the fray long before the White Scars reached their target. Temur didn't doubt the Iron Guard's tenacity or sense of duty. He did wonder if they had the troops. The battle would soon have very little to do with skill. The orcs would have the numbers and the strength to win it, and the question was only how long it would take them to smash the human defenders. Riding past the orcs, ignoring the distant sounds of their raucous laughter and songs, knowing the devastation they were bringing, was one of the hardest things Temur had done. Earlier, he had had the reasonable expectation of returning to the bastion before the slow orcs and their armor arrived. Now, there was no such hope. Now there was the need to strangle the orc operation at its source. Two bastions were being attacked. The first one to fall would lose the planet. Temur's vox bead crackled to life. It was Tegusal, one of Kusala's scouts.
"We have secured an entrance, my Khan," Tegusal said.
"Good. Where is it?"
"Look right when you reach the Manufactorum's vicinity. You'll know when you are there. It's unmistakable. We have the entrance open. We will send up a..."
Loud, continuous static on the vox. The thread of hope frayed. Temur responded with anger. He responded with speed. He vowed to tear every orc tank apart with his hands. And he called on Tegusal. He called on every white scar in the Orc Manufactorum. Nothing but white noise. Nothing but the idiot sound of disaster.